Station number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 10.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 10. What were hygiene conditions like in this camp, Mr. Weddle?
Well, the water, just here that the German cooks got the water they wanted, what they wanted to wash with, and the rest was put into pails, and the pails were put in a row on the ground outside the huts, and them that didn't go down with the water truck. Got to try to get a wash in the pails of water. So you got one bucket of water for about 20 men. It wasn't very clean. And that was it. And there was only a big hole in the ground dug. You had foot deep and a couple of pine pools across, and that was canvas round. That was the toilets facilities. And that was the hygiene. That was all the hygiene we had in that camp. During the day, we had to work. What they were doing was building a road up to the village and taking the top off the hill. And we were using little trucks, hand-push trucks, to dig. Mostly it was sandy soil and sandstone. Now and again, you got a big stone. But some had to go and cut the timber down, because it was going through a small forest. Clear the roots. We had dig down the roots, and a tractor or two or three horses would pull the rest out. And, they would blast a big stone out the ground, or a root that couldn't get out the ground. They blast it out the ground. So the lads had to move the timber. Thus the lads had to dig the sand away and push the truck to take the. It must have been going about 10 foot or something off the top of the hill, and it was going into the forest, you know. What and they were using the sand to build another part of the road up further along the road. So that's all we did at that particular time in that camp, and the lads were getting dirt, yeah. And then the harvest time, starting to pull the potatoes out of the ground then, so they stopped. They were working on the road, and some went to the small farms in groups, potato picking. And that was a change from the roads, but by God, it was was so on your knees, we had to pull them out on my knees. Yeah, you went in roads, you know. Of course, there was Polish women there, and German women. That particular time. And,
did you get any opportunity to fraternise?
No, they were kept, the guards were, except they would shout over, and you would shout back, you know, and bits of words you had picked up, but there was no fraternising that with them particular time, with them guards, they kept you separate. Some would shout and they would giggle, and more lads would pass some remarks, you know, and the lads would laugh. But you're on your knees all the time, hacking the potatoes out. Some lads were carrying them. You put them in the baskets. And you some collected the baskets in the hood on your shoulders and the basket on each side, and you put them in a wagon. And the horses, when the wagon was full, took them away to the farm and put them in clutches. But it was a cool, miserable job, that's because it was getting a bit of a crusty moans in the autumn time, you know. But it was dry. But by God, played havoc on your knees.
Did you get much opportunity for getting better food?
Well, we were getting We're getting in their clutches there, and we're getting turnip, take cabbage back with you, or split it, or throw potatoes in your pocket.
Were your search going in
the
camp?
No. I think the guards were doing the same, putting there now. Their haversacks was just as full as what we had. And well, within reason, of course. You couldn't get a big sack and put on your shoulder, naturally. You just hid a few yard. So we're trying to get a chicken on the farm. They got caught when they took them up. Them, you had to 4 feet stomach to pay it, were they? The chicken, if you had killed it, you know. Because they allowed you to put a fire on the field to make yourself some, or is that coffee? There. But you got, I can't remember if we got a Red Cross parcel at that particular camp or not, I'm not sure. Can't remember. Anyway, we did manage to get some bits of food, turnips. Cattle turnips, we even started eating the cattle turnips, which they rough that. But they were edible, if you got no to eat them. And, the farmer was supposed to feed you with bowls of soup. So that's how you lived with food, like, because you got very little in the camp. It was just soups, usual soups. But with the fires we used to boil, I was mucking in with a lad from London, with the KRRs then, London lad from Battersea. Me and him had a pan, we used to boil some potatoes up in the field and have a bit of bread. The bread, we're getting one loaf of bread between three that particular time. Sometimes one between two. So at least it was picking up a little bit. Put the soup, barley soup, sometimes you got one, two. Depends how much the cook had made and how much the lads were eating. So, by and large, some of the lads did fiddle on that particular farm, but all the conditions, the lice, yeah, the lice was really bad then. But on a Sunday night, there was a sergeant major in that camp, the Naffy sergeant major. That shows you how quick the Germans had been when he got Naffy sergeant major as a prisoner of war, you know. And on a Sunday night, the lads... had a bit, he didn't work on a Sunday afternoon, and at that particular time, he spent the time looking for lice and trying to tidy yourself up the best way you could. And such being such a nice night of a night time outside, he asked the lads to go outside and have a bit of a sing song outside on the Sunday evening, you know. One or two had mouth organs, so there. And he used to start it up by telling a few jokes. I think he was a bit of an entertainer at one time, you know. And, well, that's the impression he got the way he used to talk. And they had a lad there, he was a professional dancer in London. And he used to entertain a bit patter. And they do a bit of song and dance routine on the grass. And that used to put a nice... 2 hours in of a Sunday night, it got the lads talking, and when I told the Polish women, well, mostly women came, not the men, it was mostly the Polish women, not a great lot, but they'd come round the camps, and when the guards' back was turned, some of the guards would deliberately turn their back, and let them throw something over the wire, cigarettes, Polish cigarettes, which, even though I was smoking, I wouldn't smoke them, that was it. As far as that, it was very poor. Well, when we were looking for lice, trying to burn with matches and burn paper around the seams of our trousers, you know, lo and behold, the German guards were doing it as well, outside their huts. So when we caught the one, we were catching toads, so it was a bit of banter going at a particular time, you know. They were just as bad as us. I think their food was the same as what we were getting. They might get a bit more meat in theirs, you know. Didn't get much meat. And the weather was getting cold. And we were all getting filthy. The only time we got a bath is when we volunteered for the water truck. Because when you weren't on the farm, you had to stop and peel up potatoes for the German cooks, you know. So that
was
it.
Any opportunities for going to church? Or
No. I think one or two of the lads would say a few prayers, you know. But and I think one or two lads in the camp in Thorne saw me there. Used to take prayer meetings, you know. But there was no such thing as a church, like.
No, but you had kind of a get together on a Sunday.
We just had a Sunday night, we had a bit sing song, a bit patter, a few jokes. Some lads would tell the experiences, you know, the experiences. So it was that depended upon the weather. And if it was turning wet and damp, it was a big hut. We could go, like, it was supposed to be a dining room. And they used to go in there, and I'd built a bit of a stage with tables and chairs, and do a bit concert on there. A few weeks we were there, but the conditions were getting worse for really filthy. Our clothes were filthy and lice ridden. So that was it. And then there's dear rumours that the wood could be moving, so the lads were making fires and boiling whatever they had. They were getting them boiled up. And this John Felfable came and looked round the camp, seeing what the lads were boiling in the fires, you know. And within a half an hour, my own orders, get everything you've got together, we're getting out. He had seen enough of the conditions that the guards were in mind us. So we marched back to Carl Bood. That was the name of the town, Carl Bood. Marched to there, it was a long walk as well.
What date was this?
That would be October the 8th. Was it? No. November the 2nd, we went to Fort 17 at Thorne. Went back there. We went to Carl Bood. It was a long walk.
Was that after you'd been to Fort 17?
No, that was on the way to Fort. This is on the way to Fort 17. And they put one there, a railway siding. And they put them in these two big warehouses, waiting for the cattle trucks coming into the railway. And somewhere there was two sheds, one shed and a lot in the other shed. And then there was a rumour went round there was cheese in one of the sheds and eggs in the other. So the lads were making excuses of time to go to the toilet and get into whichever they wanted to get in. And, the guards tightened up, they just a couple of time could go to the toilet, you know. And that was just on the railway line. And they were taking no chances. Then the cattle tugs did come in. So well, in order I opened the doors and started coming into the cattle trucks, trying to, and then we started pushing to get in the cattle trucks. The station master came. He started shouting. He went in the sheds. Half his cheese was had been stolen, and all of a sudden the guard started shouting and time was halt, and there was round cheeses all over the platform. The lads had all their own cheeses, you know, and all over the platform, and they were trying to stop the lads going into the cattle trucks, but we were trying to get in, because once you got in there, it wouldn't sort you, you know. So it was pandemonium. But later on, I had a good laugh over the cheeses rolling all over the platform, you know, and eggs, broken eggs. But we got in there, the cattle trucks, the Felfable. They left the doors open. And he got on the platform, he says, if you've got any cheeses, so an interpreter, of course, hand them over, because the cheese ration in them And the egg, whatever supplies I had in these other, the other hut, was a month's supply for the district. Some of the lads kept the cheese rest when they threw them out, you know. So went back to Thorn. On the way to Thorn then, that was camp, 417 in Thorn. Went there.
Had you been there before, 417?
Oh, I was the same, same town, but different camp. There was a few different numbered camps, but all come under the same my administration, you know. Of course, there's a few thousand British troops there, you know. So the rumour was that the next morning, you know, I went around the camp, anybody that had to see a doctor for constipation was going to get shot.
So, why was this?
We're eating the cheese. So that went on the camp like wildfire. So anybody who had stomach trouble, oh, you're one of the cheese gang. You know, even the guards were laughing about the, later on about the cheese. Like, but it was pretty serious at the time, like, you know. And, but that was that went on for a couple of weeks, that, you know, oh, you're one of the cheese gang. But that camp, the food was tightening up then, putting everything on the ground. And the lads would pinch it through the night till the German officer said, "That's your month's supply." And when that goes, there's nothing left. So they made a guard amongst the lads. And it was RSM, what the KROs there, he was in charge of the camp then. He tried to put a bit of discipline into the. To, well, you had to for the stealing, like, that. He probably was consecrated with that, like. But he tried to put a bit of discipline into the lads, keeping ourselves clean a bit, because there was still the bunks, same old tiered bunks lying side by side.
Was the hygiene any better?
No, it was a little bit better. You had a wash place where you could round wash rings, and you could get a wash. At least strip down and get a wash. At least you could get that. And the food, you did get a bowl of hot soup a day, and I think it was one loaf of bread between four at that particular time. And you got that little bit of, honey. And, it was like, it wasn't butter, but it was like margarine and butter mixed, just a little bit. A little bit of sausage, if there was any on there to be given out. But, one said the sergeant major was stopping lad's soup, taking his ticket off him so he couldn't get his soup. But that was the whole later on. Used to give the lads at the tickets back later on. Like.
Were things getting
but it
any
was
better?
Bad. No, I think the conditions were and the lads were getting worse in that particular. There was seamen, merchant seamen in that camp as well, taking it to Norway. And we're getting the news off what news they were bringing in. And some Navy lads brought in. They were bringing the coastal lads. And they were bringing a bit of news in with them.
It would be coming into winter now. What was
it was coming
weather,
in. It was getting,
like?
Getting cool. It was getting cool over night time. And the lads were suffering a bit. They were done with a hot bowl of soup. You were lucky if you got two. Very lucky. Unless you were in there working in the cookhouse peeling potatoes and that. You generally got some pot of coffee. Oh, that's coffee, of course. There was still no sign of Red Cross then. No, and diphtheria broke out. Got inoculated there on the chest. Some lads had a bad chest with lumps, you know. But luckily it never bothered me. There was no, I don't think there was any great breakout. Just taking precautions, you know. But the lads were in a poor state of health. But there was still one or two Englishmen with brand new British Army clothes on in that particular time. One of the sergeant majors had brand new British Army outfit, boots and everything. And we were still in rags. And some of the lads were getting a backup about that.
was the reason for that?
Well, he was in charge of the camp. He was in the, you know, the, must have been the start of the fiddles. He had to sure. I think at that particular time he was going round all the small camps with the officer, as far as I understand. But he wasn't a very well liked guy. He was at the KRS.
Ever remember his name?
No, I don't. I didn't have much truck with him, actually, like. For all I was with the KRL lads, but they knew him. The KRL lads, they knew him. A few reservists used to lie next to me, and in that little group, you know, and they knew him. They didn't like what they seen.
Were they able to do anything about it?
At that particular time, no. Not that particular time. Most you had to try and keep yourself clean. Keep your clothes together. There was a little lad, young lad from Leeds, and he was a Jew lad, and very dark featured, but he hadn't a Jewish nose, and he was frightened. He used to stitch for the lads. He was a tailor by trade, and he used to do a lot of stitching for the lads. He had thread and that, and he used to say he was frightened in case somebody had told the Germans he was a Jew, because the rumours were going round then about the Jews, you know. The Germans seemed to deny it, but there was rumours going around what they were doing with the Jews, you know. Because we seen one or two Jews, and they were in a poor condition working in the camps, doing the dirty jobs for the Germans, you know. But nothing happened to him at that particular time. But the fear was there, you know, for him. He suffered a little bit, that lad. He was doing little lodging heads for tailing for a cigarette here and a cigarette there, which you didn't blame him, you know. Because a lot of lads couldn't look after themselves, you know.
After the first 6 months then of your captivity, was there any sign of better organisation coming along?
In the big camps there was. And
how long were you in Camp 17?
Oh, well, I left... there on November the 20th.
So you were only there a week or two?
Uh-huh. Thank God. Went to Bromberg. Just outside of Bromberg. That was a pretty long journey, that. But when we got to this camp, it was in the wilderness, this camp, at barbed wire and everything around. Lookout tower, which was new. Think to me then, because none of the other ones hadn't had the protection, but you had the machine guns on the parapets, and most of the camp were had them on the parapets, you know. But this one had a watchtower on the two corners, and but the huts were good huts, strongly made wooden huts, iron stove in each one, clean, double glazing, which you needed it. The same kind of huts, exactly the same as what the Germans were in. And there was a big hut for a cookhouse and a dining room where you could have your meals. It was like a big concert room. But there were showers there. For the first time we got a lovely shower, a warm shower. At that particular time, the weather wasn't too bad. It was getting colder.
How many men were there to a hut?
About 20 to a hut, I guess.
Were you lying on mattresses?
Bunks, two-tiered bunks. Nice stove. And the hardware... Well, they had to go and work in parties, and that was an hour and a half's walk to where we're working. It was in a forest, on the edge of a forest, and they were digging a big, massive hole. We're filling trucks, little truck tubs, wheeling them, tipping them, but the hole was a massive hole we were building, and putting a railway line through, putting the ballast in, shifting the rails. Well, Reels are having a want in neat condition to lift field. It was took about 40 to lift the reel with the tugs, you know. And you'd have to put the ballast in. The chain would come over and then repeat it all again because it was a brand new chain.